بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى حتى تعلموا ما تقولون ولا جنبا إلا عابري سبيل حتى تغتسلوا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الطهور الشطر الإيمان. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. Islam is the natural and perfect religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected and chosen for the mankind to be successful in this world as well as in hereafter. In ad-deena inda Allah Islam. Islam is the only religion in the world that emphasizes impurity. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "At-tahuru shatru al-iman." Purity is half of the iman. You can imagine how important for a man or woman to be a mu'min, to be a believer, to be successful in both the worlds. Iman is required, is condition. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that half of the iman is just the purity, to be a pure and clean. It means a mu'min, a true believer, cannot be impure, cannot be unclean. And cleanliness here, meaning the spiritual cleanliness. Our outwardly, our body, our clothes should be pure and clean. But in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in this verse of the Holy Quran, which when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that, "Oh, you who believe, do not go near the prayer, near the salah, when you are junub," though he's talking about spiritual impurity, "until you have washed yourself," until you have taken a bath, a ghusl. Another place in Surah Al-Ma'idah, similar ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, "Oh, you believe, when you stand up for the prayer, for the salah, if you are junub, if you are unclean, impure, then first purify yourself. Our ibadah, our worship is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until and unless we are clean from inside and outside. Both." Now there are two kind of najasa. The Arabic word for uncleanness, impurity, is the word najasa. So najasa is two kinds. One is hakiki, one is hukmi. Hakiki means visible. Urine, stool, blood, vomit, etc. You can see it, it's visible. Hukmi is not visible. What is impurity? Why? Hukmi is by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's invisible, but it still is impurity. And that impurity is when a person is passing the wind, when a person fart, for example, his wudu will break. He has to go back and reform his wudu. Now, logically, we cannot hear. Sometimes we hear the noise, but most of the time it can be silent, right? And why it doesn't make sense to us, why my wuzu is broken. I never heard of my wuzu is broken, but that is the hukam of Allah. That is najasat hukmi. That if wind pass through, then your wuzu will break. You have to go back, even while performing salat, you have to leave your salat, break your salat and go and perform your wuzu. Hukmi. And another example is junubat, janabat. Janabat is also an Arabic word, meaning when a person is passing a semen and he has intercourse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't feel shy to speak the truth. So brothers and sisters, don't mind. Today's topic is very sensitive but very important topic, and is a personal topic. So some of the brothers should say, oh, what is happening in the masjid? But we have to learn. And this is the ayat of the Holy Quran. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't feel shy to speak out, to teach us, then why we should feel shy to listen to it? Most of the brothers and sisters, they don't ask questions because they feel shy to go to the Imam. And they carry on their entire life in that state of impurity. Their salat is not accepted because they don't even know how to purify themselves. It's a general and basic, so I don't have much of time, but I'm going to explain general rules of the ghusl. Ghusl is Arabic word. In English, we take the bath or shower. All the people taking shower every single morning, most of them, right? But that called shower. Here, I'm going to talk about the bath, the special ghusl, which is only Islam is teaching, no other religion is teaching in this manner. So, najasat hukmi, meaning when a person becomes impure by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are two things. Number one, discharge of semen. When a person becomes baligh at the age of 13, 14, then start dreaming, a wet dream at night, or maybe during the day also, he is thought of somebody and then he discharged himself or herself. That's called, you know, janaba. That's called the semen, discharging of the semen. Now, most of the time, this dream starts when a person becomes baligh, when he is unmarried. After the marriage, obviously he stopped dreaming. He can't dream after the marriage. There was a brother who used to talk in his sleep a lot at night. He used to mumble and talk. So wife become disturbed and fed up with him, because he is disturbing her sleep. That was his habit. So she took the husband to the doctor and complained, "Doctor, my husband is talking too much every night while he's sleeping and is disturbing my sleep. Please give some medicine, treat him." So doctor also was a husband of somebody. He said, "Sister, maybe you're not allowing him to speak during the day. The only chance he gets at night. So please be kind and allow him to talk during the day so he won't talk at night. Apart from the job." So one of the reason is discharging of semen. It does not make any difference whether this discharge is while awake or in a wet dream, slight or profuse. Intentionally or otherwise, in lawful way or unlawful way. Unlawful way means youngster, they do the masturbation or other things, but the ghusl becomes wajib. In all these cases, ghusl janabat becomes obligatory wajib. If a liquid comes out from a man and he does not know whether or not it is the semen, then it should look for the following three things. Number one, immense with passion. Number two, spurting discharge, discharge the force. And number three, feeling relaxed after the discharge. If he relaxes in his body, then it means it is the wet dream and he has to take a ghusl. If these signs are found together on him, then he should consider the liquid was semen and he must take the ghusl. If a secretion is discharged from the woman, then it is precautionary wajib for her to do ghusl janabat, provided it came with sexual passion and she felt relaxed after it. But if the secretion comes out, the sexual passion, or without the feeling of relaxation after the discharge, then it is not najis, it is not impure, and therefore ghusl is not wajib upon her. So this was the first condition where the ghusl becomes wajib. The second condition is sexual intercourse. If does not make any difference whether the intercourse was lawful or unlawful, whether he was sleeping with a spouse, lawful woman, or unlawfully, adultery, fornication, etc., and with or without discharge of semen, in Islamic laws, sexual intercourse is defined as the penetration of the private parts into one another. That is, for ghusl janabat to become wajib, it is not necessary that full penetration or discharge of semen should take place. In case of sexual intercourse, ghusl janabat becomes wajib on both man and the woman. While a person is junub is a term where a person is impure after the discharging of semen, he becomes impure in junub. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned in the Holy Quran that ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la taqrabus salata wa antum sukara hatta ta'lamu ma taquluna wa la junuban. So this junub word is after discharge of the semen, a person becomes junub, impure. So while he is in this state, before he taking ghusl, what things he cannot do, what is unlawful things for him? Their following acts are haram in the state of impurity before performing the ghusl. Number one, touching the writing of the Quran, the Holy Quran, any page or any ayat or any names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 99 names, etc., he cannot touch while in that state of impurity. Number two, reciting the verse of the Holy Quran. In that state, he should not recite any ayat of the Holy Quran. Number three, entering or staying in the masjid. He cannot enter in that state inside the masjid. All like tabligh brothers come, they sleep inside the masjid during the night. If they have wet dream while they were inside the masjid, immediately they should quit the masjid, go outside and take the shower. So these are the fourth thing is leaving something or taking out from the masjid in the state of impurity. He cannot do so. What things are makruh, undesirable, disliked while a person is impure or junubi? Number one, eating and drinking is makruh for a junub except after the doing wuzu or gargling or rinsing the nose. A person is impure, so while he is impure, he should not eat or drink anything in that state. If he wants to drink or eat something, just make wuzu. He doesn't have to make proper ghusl. After making wuzu, at least some kind of purity he will get it, and that will allow him to eat or drink. Number two, touching the Holy Quran, as I said before, or touching the any book of hadith, it should not be in the state of impurity. Number three, sleeping without performing wuzu. Most of the brothers, sisters have this habit. When they have intercourse at night, they are too lazy to take ghusl same time. The best thing is to perform the ghusl same time, like after 15-20 minutes, half an hour, and then he must sleep, because there is no guarantee of death. He's thinking, oh, I'm going to wake up for Fajr and then I'll take ghusl. Let me sleep, I'm too tired or I'm sleepy. And if Malakul Maut comes during the night, he's not going to allow him to take shower. He will take his soul in that state of impurity. He will die, or she will die in the state of impurity. There is no guarantee of life. That's why preferable is that immediately after 10-15 minutes when it's done, he or she should perform the ghusl and then go to bed and sleep. So these are the few things we have to consider and keep in mind. Now, I'm going to go through some practical way of performing ghusl. There are, number one, there are three farz act in the ghusl. Three farz act, which meaning three compulsory act. We have to do it. Without that, ghusl is invalid. Number one, you have to gargle thoroughly three times. Put the water into your mouth and gargle it. It is compulsory. If a person is showering, whole body is wet, but he did not gargle or she did not gargle, his ghusl is not done. I am talking about ghusl, I am not talking about showering. There are two different things. Shower you can do anytime, anywhere, which is just to pour water over the body. But ghusl itself requires three conditions, three obligatory acts. Number one, gargling, it must. Number two, rinsing the nose, nostril. Put the water into the nostril three times and clean it thoroughly. The water should go to the bone. You touch the bone. That is compulsory. If a person is not doing the rinsing of the nose, then his ghusl is not done. He cannot pray salat. No matter how many gallons of water is going to pour over the body, but if forget to rinse the nose, clean the nose, his ghusl is not done. So keep in mind, these three acts are compulsory, obligatory, we have to do it. Number one, gargling the mouth. Number two, rinsing the nose, cleaning the nose, and then the entire body should be wet. And there are five sunnat acts in the ghusl. The sunnat act means the way Rasulullah performed the ghusl, the way he shown to the ummah. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to purify. So these are five things. Number one, washing the hands up to the wrist. Number one, you must wash your hands up to the wrist. And then washing the private parts, wherever the impurity you found in the body, on the thigh or wherever, you must clean that first. Number three, make niyat, O Allah, I want to become pure and clean from the impurity, from the janabah, from the najasat. Number four, perform the wuzu. This is the act maybe most of the brothers and sisters maybe don't know. Why we do wuzu while we are impure? But this is the way Rasulullah used to do. He used to wash his hand first, then used to clean the wherever the impurity on the body, any part of the body, and then he used to make the niyyah that I want to become pure to perform the salat or recite the Holy Quran. And then he used to make proper wuzu as we perform the wuzu for the salat. Same thing, you know, washing the face and hands and masa and washing the feet. All four actions which is for us in the wuzu, we should do prior to taking the ghusl. That is the sunnat way. Yes, if a person doesn't perform wuzu, and he just gargle and rinse the nose and pour water over the entire body, his ghusl will be done. He will become pure. But he won't get reward of the ghusl if he doesn't perform the wuzu before the ghusl. So fourth thing, remember that we must perform the proper ghusl, I mean proper wudu, as we are performing wudu for the salah. And then the fifth thing is that we must pass water over the entire body. Now the how we should make ghusl, inshallah, in the bathroom. Ghusl should be made in the place of total privacy. We should not expose our clothes. We should not be naked in front of others. We should close the room or bathroom and then you must take the shower. One should not face the Qibla while making ghusl. If your bathroom is set in this way, while you are naked, you are impure, you should not face the Qibla.
That is the sunnat way. Number three, ghusl may perform standing or seated, but preferably seated, because more aura a person is found while he is sitting. That's how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or Sahaba radiallahu anhu never performed the ghusl in the standing position. In today's time, we have the shower and we just stand in position, we perform the ghusl. The real way, the Islamic way, the sunnat way of performing ghusl is to sit down and then perform the ghusl. Use the sufficient water, do not skim or not be wasteful. Don't waste too much of water. Some brothers or sisters going to the bathroom, they don't want to come out from there. They spend hours and hours and water is just running. Don't waste your water. Abstain from speaking while performing ghusl. Some brothers have the habit, while they are ghusl, they are still talking to the wife, to the children, or they are singing. The most of the singers we found, the bathroom singers. So don't sing in the side. You just quickly perform the ghusl and come out from there. It is better not to read any kalima or any dua or in ayat while you are performing the ghusl. Before performing ghusl, one should make this niyyah that, oh Allah, I am performing ghusl to become pure. Without niyyah, the ghusl will be done, but you won't get the reward. Innamal a'malu bin niyyat. If you want to get the reward of your ghusl, that whatever act you are doing, you will be rewarded for that if you make niyyah of ghusl. If you don't make niyyah of ghusl, you will still be pure, but you won't get any reward for that. So what we should do, number one, we should wash our hand, including the wrist first, then wash the private part and make, clean the body. Then you must perform the wuzu as we are performing for the salat, and then start pouring water from the head. Pour water over the head first, three times, then right shoulder all the way to down, then left shoulder all the way to down. And if the hair of the head are not plaited, it is compulsory to wet all the hair up to the very base, to the roots. We have to make sure that you must, run our fingers through the hairs, so water should reach to the roots of the hair. If a single hair is left dry, the ghusl will not be valid. It's so important. We have to make sure thoroughly the whole body should be rubbed and wash. Even little bit part remain dry, any part of the body, your ghusl will not be completed. If the hair of the woman are plaited, she is excused from losing her plaited hair, but it is compulsory for her to wet the base, the root of each and every hair. If she fails to do so, then the ghusl will not be valid. For a man who grow the long hair nowadays and plait them, they are not excused from leaving their hair dry. They have to open the hair and they have to make sure that the water reaches to the roots. It is mustahab to clean the body by rubbing. All parts of the body should be rubbed with the hands and make sure that no portion of the things remain dry. If a person has rings or earring, etc., he should remove it while washing. Sometimes the skin, underneath the ring is remain dry. So make sure that you must make sure that portion also, you must rinse the water over there and wash it. On completion, when the ghusl is completed, then one should confine oneself to clean place while performing the wuzu. The feet had not been washed. It is necessary to wash it afterwards. After the ghusl, we should make sure that we must make clothes as soon as possible, cover our body immediately after performing the ghusl. Then don't take time to cover our body immediately after the ghusl. We should put on the clothes on it. If a person has any kind of ointment on the wound or cut, he doesn't have to remove it. He can just pour water over it. The ghusl will be done. Now, Cutting the nails, it is also sunnat. We should cut our nails every Friday, preferably, or after 2 weeks at least. So how you gonna cut it? You start from the shahada, from the index finger. Cut this one first, 2, 3. Then the next index finger come. And the thumb of the right should be the last to cut the or clip the nail. So start from the shahada, come over here, do this, and then do this in the last. As for the toes, start from the little finger of the toes, little toes, and come from right all the way to left. So these are the some masail of the ghusl. And one important thing, my brothers and sisters, Islam is very practical and natural religion. So one of the question is, if a person is having intercourse more than one time at night, one ghusl is sufficient. You can have as many intercourse at night. Towards the end, you just do one ghusl, and that will be sufficient for all so many times. Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala narrated that one night Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to his 9 wives. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Prophet of Allah, has the strength of the 30 people. We can't do, don't try, you will die. Yes. So that was the Nabi of Allah. He had special power of 30 or 40 maids. So Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala said, in one night before he went for the Hajj, he fulfilled the rights of every wife. He went one by one to the 11 wives or 9 wives, and then he performed the ghusl janabah towards end. The hadith is mentioned to derive this mas'ala that during the night, as many times we do intercourse, one ghusl is sufficient. Rasulullah did not perform 9 ghusl, he just performed one ghusl towards the end. So this is the mas'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq for that.